think I could use a little coffee this morning to drench the water. But we always run a bit of a risk whenever we begin a Sunday morning with a fellowship breakfast. And that risk is apparent this morning. Because after we have a big breakfast like we had this today, many of us had today, a couple hours later, we tend to become lethargic. Our blood sugar drops, and we get tired. So I gave Roger permission today that if he sees anybody falling asleep from the back of the sanctuary, and he's on duty back there, he will get up and ring that bell to wake you up. And he has my permission to go around and poke you if you're falling asleep. So yes, the tomb is indeed empty, but our bellies are full. So, but I'm glad we could all be here today. And as I was preparing for the message, I had to question, as Ronald said in Sunday school this morning, what can I say that hasn't already been said about these resurrection narratives, about the stories that we study about the first Easter? And I came to the conclusion that I indeed cannot say anything that hasn't been said before. But rather than trying to say something that hasn't been said before, I decided that today, what I want to do is to say something from a perspective that perhaps you've never considered. What I want to do today is to invite you all to listen as if you are Mary Magdalene. Listen to this story as it unfolds, as if you were the one who becomes the first to witness the empty tomb, the first to witness the resurrected Jesus Christ. Today I invite you to enter into the sandals of Mary Magdalene on that first Easter morning. And from Mary, hopefully we can learn how we are to love Jesus Christ, how we are to recognize Him when He calls us, and how we are to follow His good and perfect will. So at this time, I'm going to be turning to John chapter 20, verses 1 through 18. But before you turn there, I invite you just to listen. Don't read along with me, but close your eyes, stay awake. Maybe I shouldn't tell you to close your eyes. But just listen to the story and put yourself in the place of Mary Magdalene. John chapter 20. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid Him." Then Peter and the other disciple went out and they went towards the tomb. The two were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who reached the tomb first also went in. And he saw, and he believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, but that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their home. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white sitting there where the body of Jesus had been lying, one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid Him." When she said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord. And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now last Sunday, when I first stood up here and began to speak to you, I believe I started with a lie. Because last Sunday when I stood up to preach, the first thing that I said, the first words out of my mouth, were the words, spring has sprung. Lighten up, everybody. I said, spring has sprung, because last Sunday we had 70 degrees, the sun was shining, the birds were chirping, the cherry blossoms were blooming. Last Sunday, Sonia and I went for a hike in the National Forest. It was a beautiful day. Last Saturday, I mowed my grass. This Saturday, I couldn't see my grass. Because just like that, with the high anticipation of the summer to come, we were excited because the warm weather was finally upon us. We thought the winter was over. The summer is coming. I took my winter coat and I put it in the basement closet, putting it away for the rest of the year, never to see it again until next fall. And then, what a difference a week makes. What a difference a week makes. Because this, towards the end of the week, we had snow. Last Sunday, I went hiking in shorts. This Sunday, I don't think I'm going to leave the house again once I get home. What a difference a week makes. Now, last Sunday was also Palm Sunday. Last Sunday was the day when Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And as Jesus came into the city, the Jews took palm branches and laid them down before Jesus. And they yelled out, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the Son of David. And they inaugurated him as their king. This was a high moment for these people. They thought that surely their winter was over. They were excited because this king had come to free them from the oppressive rule of the Roman Empire. The winter was over. The summer was coming. Better things lay before them. They were excited because Jesus had arrived. But then, just as quickly as our weather changed here in the valley, the attitude of the Jews changed as well. Because really quickly, by Friday, the weather had gone bad. Things had made a turn for the worse. And the same Jews who were there yelling, Hosanna, Hosanna to the Son of David, we're now yelling, crucify him. Crucify him. Things can change quickly at the drop of a hat. But there were those who were faithful to Jesus, who remained faithful in spite of everything that was going on around them. And we hear stories about Peter, who denied Christ 3 times. And we hear about Judas, who even though he was one of the 12 closest to Jesus, sold him out for a bag of silver. But we don't hear about those who remain faithful. We don't focus upon them. But there were those who remained faithful to Christ. And one of them was Mary Magdalene. Now Mary Magdalene, Luke tells us, had been possessed by 7 demons. And Jesus came along one day and exorcised those demons from her body, removed them from her. Now some people believe that this Mary, Mary Magdalene, was also the same Mary that lives in Bethany, where Jesus frequently visited. Some people believe that Mary Magdalene was also the woman who brought the alabaster box, who anointed Jesus' feet. Some people call Mary a prostitute. Other people call her a saint. But regardless of what we believe about this woman, it's clear from Scripture that she had a very serious relationship with Jesus Christ. That she loved this man. Not in a romantic way, but in a brotherly, sisterly kind of way. They were extremely close. They loved one another. But then comes Good Friday. And Good Friday was not good for Mary, because she lost one of her best friends that day. A man that she knew as her friend. A man that she knew as her Lord. A man that she knew as her Savior. Her Lord was killed on the cross. Her friend was taken away from her. Now the Gospel of John tells us that on the first day of the week, Mary went to the tomb to be with Jesus, to prepare the body. And John's Gospel tells us that when she went, that it was still dark. Now if we read Mark or Luke, these Gospels tell us that the sun had already risen when Mary went to the tomb. So are these Gospels contradicting one another? It's not what I believe. I believe that when John tells us that it was still dark when Mary went to the tomb, he's not referring to whether or not the sun was up. But he's talking about the sadness that was in the hearts of Mary and those disciples that remained faithful to Jesus Christ. It was still dark in their lives. John often refers to Jesus as the light. And without light, there is darkness. So for these disciples, for those who remained faithful to Jesus Christ, it was in fact still dark because they did not know that he had arisen. So it was dark because Jesus had died. Jesus had been taken away from them. Now we all know what it's like to lose a loved one. I would say there's probably not a single person in this room who hasn't lost somebody that they cared for deeply. And sometimes that is only compounded by the fact that these people are at times taken from us too soon in their lives. Now, when I was in high school, I had a friend whose name was also Kevin. His name was Kevin Eschler. And in high school, we made fun of Kevin because he was often sick, missing school. He'd miss days here and days there, maybe even a week at a time. And we would joke saying, you know, if he sneezed, his mom would let him stay home from school. But we found out later that he was sicker than we had thought. Turns out that Kevin had cancer. As a senior, Kevin Eschler lost his leg to cancer. A year later, he lost his life to cancer. Now, there had been a time when we were excited about the future. We were young. We were in high school. We were going to go off to college. We were going to get good jobs. We were going to start families. We were going to have a good life. But these things never happened for Kevin. They were taken away from him when he was taken away from us. Now, we all know what it's like to lose a loved one and to lose them before their time is up. And this is what Mary is going through. She had this friend, Jesus Christ, who was her Lord, who was her friend. And she expected such big things to happen. She expected him to come in and rule Israel, to bring Israel back into a power where they were not oppressed by the Roman government. She loved this man. This man had exorcised these demons from her body, had restored her into a right relationship with God, and had made her significant once again amongst human beings. But this man was taken from her. Jesus Christ was killed on the cross. So when Mary shows up at the tomb that morning and she sees that the rock has been rolled away, she runs to tell the disciples. She runs to tell them that someone has taken the body of Jesus Christ. And the disciples, they run to the tomb to see if she is telling the truth. And sure enough, the tomb is empty. The body of Christ is gone. And there's nothing they can do about it. These disciples couldn't stop Jesus from being killed, and they couldn't stop his body from being stolen. So what do? They go back home, and they leave Mary there to cry alone. She's crying weeping because she is helpless. There's nothing she can do but cry over the loss of her loved one. And Mary is crying so hard, she's so distraught with all these emotions, that she even sees angels and interacts with them. It doesn't seem to affect her. The angels speak to her. They say, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And she answers them. She says, "They have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." This woman is crying so hard that she doesn't even recognize the very person that she is crying about is standing right behind her. And Jesus asks her the same question. She says, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She doesn't even know Jesus because her eyes are filled with tears. Her heart is filled with sadness. She can't even recognize her Lord and Savior. Now, Jesus has done so much for Mary. As I've said many times, He saved her from these seven spirits, from these seven demons. But Jesus has done more than that for her. Jesus has given her the ultimate gift. Jesus has loved her. Who cares about this woman? Who cares about a woman who has been possessed by demons, who has lived perhaps as a prostitute, lived an unholy, unclean life? Who cares about such a person? Well, Jesus raises his hand and he says, "I care. I love her." And Mary loves Jesus back. Not because of all that he has done for her. Sure, that's great. That's important to her. But she loves Jesus because he loved her first. She returns that love to him because of who he is. And he is love. Now, there are too many people, I believe, in this world who are asking, "What can Jesus do for me?" There are so-called Christians that believe that just because they believe in Christ, that they should be given anything they want. If they say hallelujah to the Lord, they think they should be given a bigger house. They say, "Well, the Bible tells me to ask and I shall receive. So if I ask for a boat this year, God will give me a boat because I want to go out on the ocean. It only makes sense. It says so in the Bible. Ask, you will be given. Ask and you shall receive." But you know, the question is not, what can Jesus Christ do for me? The question is, what can I do for Jesus Christ because of what he has already done for me? Jesus Christ gave nothing short of his own life for us. And yet we expect more from him. Jesus gave his life so that we might have eternal life. And that alone is enough to love him forever. And even aside from that, we love him because he first loved us. And that is why he laid down his life. That is why he gave himself for us. Now when Mary hears the voice behind her, asking her, "Woman, why do you weep?" She doesn't recognize it as Jesus. Not until he says her name. Jesus calls her out, calls out her name, Mary. And the instant she hears her own name, she recognizes it as that of her Savior, as that of Jesus Christ, and she calls out, "Rabboni, teacher." Now in John chapter 10, verses 2 through 4, we read this: "The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought them out on his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." Mary knows Jesus' voice when he calls her name. And when we know Jesus personally, when we know him well, we too will recognize his voice when he is calling us. So what is it that Jesus has called Mary to do? When Jesus calls Mary, she listens to his call. And in verse 17, Jesus tells her, Go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father, to my God and your God. So Mary went and announced to the disciples, I have seen the Lord, and she told them that he had said these things to her. When Jesus Christ tells Mary to go and tell others that he has risen, she does not hesitate. She wasn't worried that she was going to look foolish if she went and told people that this person who was once dead was now once again alive. She didn't take the time to ponder, well, this doesn't happen. How am I going to look if I go and tell people that this dead man is now alive? And the Gospel of John also doesn't tell us that she's worried about her gender or her history, causing people to question whether or not she's a reliable source. Because she's a woman, her testimony wouldn't hold up even in a court of law. And furthermore, she had demons. She was possessed. Who's going to believe this woman? But she doesn't let that keep her from doing what God has ordered her to do through Jesus Christ. And the Gospel of John does not tell us that Mary is worried that she needs to fully comprehend everything that occurred that day before she goes and tells others that the tomb is empty. Mary doesn't worry about whether or not it was the death or the resurrection of Christ which brings salvation. Mary doesn't take time to wonder if she fully understands Anselm's satisfaction theory or Jenny Weaver's narrative Christus Victor. The important thing, Lord knows what I'm talking about. The important thing is that when Jesus Christ tells her to go and tell that the tomb is empty, she is faithful. And she goes and tells the disciples what she was told to tell them. Mary didn't worry about all these things in her life or in her past that could be stumbling blocks to her witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But Mary did the things that she was told because first, she loved Jesus Christ with all her heart. And because she loved him, she knew it was his voice when he was calling out to her. And because she knew and loved him, she faithfully answered his call to go and tell others that he has risen. Now, though the weather here in Virginia has once again turned cold, I'm going to proclaim to you today that the sun will once again shine. When Mary arrived at the tomb that first Easter morning, things had turned for the worse. Things had gotten so much colder in her life. But then the sun came out. And the sun revealed himself to her. And everything was restored once again. Now we can learn a lot from Mary. We can learn how it is that we are to live, love, and worship Jesus Christ. And we can learn how to share that good news with others. Brothers and sisters, the tomb is empty. Let's not put Christ back in that tomb. We must live as if Christ has risen, because Christ has risen indeed. Will you please join me in prayer? Our gracious and loving God, we thank you, Lord, for your atoning acts through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for sending faithful witnesses to this act, to this world, so that we may learn from them. Lord, many of us can sympathize with Mary Magdalene because all of us are sinners and in need of God's grace. Lord, may we learn from her today how we are to love you and your Son, Jesus Christ. May we learn how to recognize his voice. May we learn how to share the good news that he has risen. We pray these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.